tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me.
Dad stands in the corner with the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those within skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Let's see. Hopefully we got sound. Let's just check right away quick here before we get going. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 1st of October. Man, this year has gone by fast. Let's see if we got any sound here. Let's see. Somebody, let's see a show of hands. Okay, I see hands coming up here. T-Dog, good to see you in there. All right, hold on. We got one more thing. We're going to have Miss Amy with us tonight for a little bit, so I got to get here her... Got to get her hooked up here. So stand by just a minute. Let me get her all plugged in. All right. She'll be here. You want to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, nice people.
I haven't been on for a while, so, but I'm here tonight, so this is a good thing.
All right. Both streams going 5x5. I got a lot of stuff tonight. We got some new stuff. We talked a lot about colloidal silver last night, more than I had planned to. But we're going to have some Pumpkin Cat's excited, Infidel, Minnie's all, they're all excited. So maybe I just should bow out and just give it to you, huh? Yeah. No, we've got some new stuff here on silver, some conflicting information. So we'll talk about that in a little while. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. Just a couple of little articles we want to go over. So we're going to let Amy get started here. because we want to, it's kind of doesn't work to get started with all the doom and gloom and then let Amy bring her cheerful voice in there and then go doom and gloom again. So we got lots of stuff. We do have some good news, though. Our Marine is going to be released either tonight or tomorrow. So
completely intact.
I don't know what he's done, what kind of shape he's in. At one point, he was told his mother that he was trying to kill himself, and he's had a hard time. It's been several months he's been in there, but Minnie, I'll see if I can find that for you here in a little bit. And Smoky Mountain Prepper, yes, sir. That's
Smoky Mountain Prepper.
That's a new one. You haven't seen him before.
I haven't. Welcome.
But Scoutus is Amy.
Yep, that's me.
All right. I'm going to give you over to Amy. Everybody's all excited. Nobody's excited to see me. They're all excited. So I'm just going to get out, bow out here, let you have it for a while. Well, you ready?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not. I don't have a whole lot, but I'll
you got
tell
enough
you,
for me.
I'll tell you what I've got, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right. Well, as Cope said, today is October 1st. Hard to believe. But anyway, and I always tell you the holiday for the day following. So tomorrow, the holiday is Fried Scallops Day. Now, I am not a seafood fan, but as you know, I guess, have you ever had scallops?
Uh-huh.
And did you like them?
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't bad.
Scallops is
not anything I'd go out of my way to do again, but I like them okay.
It's a seafood delicacy. And in fact, in Japan, they serve scallops in soup, or they prepare them as sushi. But here in the Western cultures, they're usually breaded, deep fried, or sautéed in butter. I have never had scallops in my
life. Deep fried is the way to go.
You like everything deep fried.
Yes, sir. I'm a deep fried, southern fried type of guy.
Yeah. But anyway, I have never had scallops, and I don't know if they're good. If they don't taste really fishy, then I'm okay. I like fish if it's not fishy. That makes sense. I don't like the real fishy smell, taste, and that really, really turns me off. But so anyway, tomorrow is Fried Scallops Day, so fry up a plate of scallops and to celebrate tomorrow. All right, let me tell you who's having birthdays today, October 1st. I don't know if we have my music, but that's okay. We won't do our birthday song.
I won't sing. Never mind. I wouldn't ruin your show with that.
If today is your birthday, October 1st, happy birthday to you from me. Let me tell you who you are having, who you're celebrating with. Rights at Risk, I do like halibut. Halibut is good. And O'Concretan says that scallops are not fishy. This is good. Okay, yeah. I'll also try them.
Yeah, we eat those just for the halibut.
Are you done?
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh,
I lobster, and then I flounder. Oh, no.
Wow. Oops,
sorry, that's wrong show.
Yeah, it is. Infidel, listen to this. Bacon-wrapped scallops.
It could be bacon-wrapped horse turd. I mean, as long as it's got bacon on it, it's edible.
He says, fresh from the Puget Sound, pre-Fukushima, of course. All right, anyway, let me tell you who is having a birthday today. Julie Andrews. Andrews is 79 years old today.
Wow, I thought she was one of those immortal ones.
Yeah, 79. And, you know, I love musicals. Now, this might come as a surprise to most of you, but Cope is not a musical kind of guy. I love them, and he does not. Well, let's put it that. But Julie Andrews was in The Sound of Music. I love that movie. I really like it a lot. And she's also Mary Poppins, another great movie with Dick Van Dyke. I love both of those movies. She's been in some others, but she's I really like her a lot. Anyway, she's having a birthday. Another birthday today, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, you know how old he is today?
84.
90.
Really?
94 years old. 90 years old today.
You know, to be the best of sorry president, he sure was a nice guy. I got to meet him one time and talk to him, you know, in a very informal setting. And hell of a nice guy to talk to. Him and his wife both.
That's good.
Quite the southern the epitome gentleman. Of Southern gentleman. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Anyway, 39th president. Having a birthday today. Bonnie Parker. Do you know who Bonnie Parker is? Or was?
That's Clyde's...
Sidekick, yep.
Sidekicking.
She was born in 1910, but that is the Bonnie of Bonnie and Clyde would be having a birthday today. And then the last birthday I have, and I don't have the music for this. I wish I did because I really like this song. But Jim Martini, and he's a member of Sly and the Family Stone, he would be having a birthday today. Let's see. I have only one thing that happened on this day in history that I wanted to share with you. October 1st, 1957. This is a day that the first appearance of In God We Trust on U.S. paper currency was today. Let's see. Oh, no, I do have a couple more history things. In 1955, did you ever watch The Honeymooners?
Well, yeah.
Love that
Jackie
show.
Jackie Gleason
yes.
and Ed Car- or Art Carney.
Uh-huh. So funny. But anyway, on this day in 1955, The Honeymooners premiered.
You know, you're not allowed to have that kind of humor anymore. Can you imagine what would happen right now if you put All in the Family on TV in a regular programming?
Oh, gee.
Liberals would absolutely go completely bat stuff.
Guano. Bat
yeah,
guano.
Yeah, bat guano. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And... yeah, right at rest is to the moon, Alice. And then on this day in 1962, another good show premiered, and that was the Johnny Carson. This was his very first time hosting the Tonight Show, which is another show that I used to love to watch. I never stayed up that late usually. I couldn't because of school. My parents, I had a strict bedtime, but. I did love that show when I got a chance to watch it. Okay, now I have a story here that I wanted to share funny with you guys. And I don't know, maybe you've heard it. I don't know, but I just read it tonight and I was just like, I don't know. Things are going a little bit too far, I think. But there is, I guess in China... This day, October 1st, is a huge, it's called China's National Day, and it's a big, huge ceremony that the country celebrates. It's a big deal, and it celebrates the founding of the People's Republic of China, and this was their 65th anniversary of this holiday was today. So what they did is, in honor of this holiday... they released 10,000 doves. Did you hear the story?
Mm-mm.
They released 10,000 doves for this.
Bunch of guys out there with shotguns?
For this celebration. I'll just pretend I didn't hear that. But before they could be released, you ready?
Somebody got in there with a shotgun. No?
No.
Oh,
wipe that smile off your face. Or I will.
Right.
But anyway, listen.
You better pack a lunch and a flashlight. You might be here a while.
So before these doves, the symbol of peace and love and happiness and calm and all that kind of a thing, you know how a lot of times they release at weddings, that kind of thing. Well, before these 10,000 doves could be released, they had to undergo... quite unusual scrutiny. These 10,000 doves had their feathers, their wings, and their anus checked. Every single dove. 10,000 of them. And why? Are you going to ask me why? I'll just tell you. Anyway.
You'll have to because I'm stunned right now.
They had the workers check the wings, legs, and anus of each dove ahead of the time to ensure that they were not carrying suspicious material.
Who would have stuck mysticious stuff?
Done what?
In a dove's butt.
Apparently somebody that they were afraid of. I don't know. But anyway, they videotaped this whole thing. And then after
that was great. It'll be on YouTube soon.
Well, can you imagine being the guy doing this or the team of people or whatever?
And poor little birds.
I know.
How much stuff can you stick up a dove's butt anyway?
At the bottom.
Bottom.
Yes.
Poop chute.
Anyway.
That's stupid.
I know.
That's past stupid.
They said that, and after each and every 10,000 of these doves were checked, then they were loaded into sealed vehicles to the trip to where they were going to be released, so no one could do anything to them or put anything on them or in them after they were searched. And then they were brought over to wherever they're going to be released, and then they were let go.
I bet they were damn sure proud to let me to get out of there.
I just can't. I don't know. That's just. I read that story. And it's like, what? Are you serious? But yeah, it's it really happened. And they said that their security measures are. They just check all kinds of stuff. People say, you know what? It's bad enough to go through an airport, but these doves. They have to go. They. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny.
It's not anyway. Funny. It's stupid.
They said that the, I guess the China government has a jitters over possible attacks and terrorist attacks and everything. So they check everything, anything, and anybody before anything is released into the city where there's a bunch of people. And you know the population of China, there's several people there. So that's what they're doing. They're saying that the police officers the team of police officers that were present at this was like huge. They just had a lot more people there than they normally would, and because they are just heightened security at this, at these, especially this kind of a celebration, because a lot of people turn out for this. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. Okay, and before I
want to know what they thought they could put, what they thought they were going to find in a dove's patootie.
There you go. I don't know.
You couldn't put enough C4 in a dove to blow anything up. Enough to blow your nose, but you know, maybe 10,000 of them all set to go off at the same time, but they'd be scattered out so much it looked like fireworks.
They say
raining down feathers.
They asked, and some people did ask, you know, what in the world, what is this that you're concerned with?
And somebody smuggling BBs in or something?
It said that they did not say what this suspicious material might be, but they were looking for some suspicious material in the rear end feathers attached to the legs and under the wings of doves. And so they were looking for them. They didn't find anything in all 10,000. Can you imagine?
I got a song for that, too.
I bet you do. But anyway, so they're saying that they have a very, very tight surveillance. It's not only the people that have to go through all this type of search. He said even...
what? Here, little dove. Let me check your bottom. Bend over and grab your ankles.
So anyway...
Chinese dumber than I thought they were.
So, there you go. I thought that was very strange. It says the headlines of this report says China body search 10,000. It says pigeons, but it's doves. So yeah.
Well, if it was ostriches, I could see it, but
yeah, but they don't fly, so it could not be working. Possible.
Can all right. You imagine a herd of ostriches running down the street with grenades in their poop chute, though.
Yeah.
They hit the end of that string. It's going to be a big.
Wow. Okay. All right, here we go. I have some things that... These are strange but true little tidbits of information that I am just going to read to you. Kind of interesting. It says, it was British Prime Minister Winston Churchill who made the following sage observation. I like this. This is a good quote. A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. That is so true. That is very true. That's a good quote. Here's another one. Play-Doh was originally marketed as a wallpaper cleaner. It wasn't until kids started using it as modeling material that the company saw its potential in the toy market. Those who study such things say that when bears, squirrels, and other mammals hibernate, the flow of oxygen to their brains can drop by as much as 98%. And then the last one, this is interesting. It says, you've surely heard of the long-distance buses known as Greyhounds, but you might not be aware of the company's humble origins. In 1914, a car dealer named Carl Eric Wickman ran a car dealership in Minnesota. When business was slow, he used one of the unsold cars to offer rides between the towns of Alice and Hibbing to miners going to work. The idea was so profitable that Wickman opened long-distance routes within 2 years. He painted the vehicles gray in order to hide the road dust, prompting a hotel owner along one route to comment that the cars looked like Greyhound dogs. Wickman liked the idea so much he started using the slogan, "Ride the Greyhounds," and the rest is business history.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. That's how
I never thunk it.
That's how the Greyhound bus, I guess, got its name. I don't know if we, I guess we have sound. I'm not sure. Pumpkin Cat put sound and she said back. So hopefully everything is okay. But anyway, that's what I have for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed that little, those short little tidbits of information for you that maybe you, I don't know, some kind of enjoyment out of or something. But okay, thank you, Old Junkies. That we do have sound. But anyway, I appreciate that. And Cope is back. And I am going to bed. So good night to all of you.
Going to bed?
Yeah. It's almost 9 o'clock.
We. Alrighty then.
Yeah.
I'll just suffer through this by myself.
Thanks, Pumpkin Cat and everyone. Anyway, good night, all of you. And actually, I won't be back on tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday.
You could be if you wanted to be, though.
Tomorrow night's your doom and gloom, your...
No, well, it's just gun stuff.
Oh, that's right. It's gun stuff tomorrow night. That's right. All right. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be on tomorrow night or not. We'll see. But anyway, guys, thanks. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I will see you, if not tomorrow night, I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. Where'd my silver story go? Is it in there? Okay, we've got an APB out on a story here.
I didn't know you had a silver story.
Yeah, it was laying right here.
Was it in this paper?
I don't know what it was in.
Okay, well.
But it was marked.
We are going through a newspaper right now.
Let's see. Let me check here. No. Well,
right.
Poop. No, that's not it. Oh, well.
I'll look for it. All right, I'm leaving
it
again.
It was in
Bye.
Something.
Good. Well,
down
a bit.
Oh, well.
Was it a newspaper?
Well, I thought it was in the newspaper. I don't know what the heck it did with it. I don't remember. Anyway. All right. Hey, Smoky Mountain Prepper, we're glad you found us, too. We need some fresh ears out there, so we're glad you made it. Hopefully you go tell all your friends and get some of your prepper buddies in here. I don't know if Doom, let me look at the deal here and see if Doom's still in there. He was asking about, it don't matter. Oh, yeah, he's still there. Asking what to put some money in, going to come into a little bit of cash and trying to figure out what to put it into.
You talking about colloidal silver?
Yeah. And providing you have weapons, ammo, medical supplies, and you say you're a little short on food, I would look long and hard and make sure you get your... the food is not as easy as a lot of people will lead you to believe it is. You know, we need a good variety of stuff. Make sure it's something that you... If you can't eat it now, there's nothing to make you believe that you can eat it then. But one thing I would look into is survival tabs. You can put a year's supply of survival tabs in a large suitcase. And you can't put a year's supply of regular food in a truck. Just lay it down there. So it's a good thing for, you know, if you need to, especially if you're going to travel, survival tabs, definitely the way to go. That is the, as far as I'm concerned, that is the absolute number one product, bar none, hands down, for economy of space and money. It's one of the cheapest things that you can get. You can't raise your own food cheaper than survival tabs. And of course, the food that you raise is going to be more palatable and nice to have a good meal, but as far as the nutrition and everything, just what you, your basic necessities, there's survival tabs have no peer. So think about putting some of those in your storage there. That's something Amy and I carry them. She carries some in her purse. I've got some in the glove box. We both got them in the glove box of the pickup. We've got them in our 72-hour kits. We've got them in our get-out-of-dodge bags. We take them everywhere with us. When we travel, we make sure we have a good supply. I've got a half a bottle or so under the back seat of my pickup. We always have survival tabs. If you're ever stuck out somewhere, get stuck in the snow and run off the road, or have a flat tire, break down, get lost, or you just want to go hang out somewhere for a while and don't want to go back for a day or so or something, you can survive just fine on survival tabs for an extended period of time. You just need you just got to have a little bit of discipline on that. So, getting lots of other good suggestions for you here, Doom. MREs. Now, I wouldn't waste, if you already have some MREs, that's fine. I wouldn't put any money into them. Unless you get, a real good buy, I wouldn't spend too much on them. There's so many other choices out there. You can make an equivalent of an MRE out of food that you like that's not set up there to, was that you? Well, to military standards, most of them. But there's so many other better choices than MREs.
I didn't see anything about silver.
Okay, well, I don't know what I did with it. I'll figure it out here. That's not to say that I won't eat an MRE once in a while. I've got 8 or 10 cases of them back there. It's not, I wouldn't tell you not to get them, really. I wouldn't make that high on my list of priorities. I would put a few of them in there maybe for foraging expeditions when you're going out to get water, you're going out to get firewood, you're going hunting, you got to go to another town to find medical supplies or something you want to take something with you. Take one MRE per day and survival tabs for the other two meals, and you can carry several days worth of food that way. Take a few extra MRE or a few extra survival tabs if you happen to wind up staying an extra day or so. The survival tabs will definitely hold you over. 12 survival tabs is all that the average person needs per day, with no other supplement, no other food except water. They're $30. They've gone up quite a bit. They're gone up quite a bit. We just got a letter on that here, 2 or 3 days ago, and they've gone up substantially. But there's still 15 days worth of food in one bottle. There's 180 tablets in a bottle. You can eat 15 days for $35-$40. It's still a bargain. As high as they are now, it's still a bargain. So don't let the, even if you just buy one bottle at a time or whatever, there's 33 bottles in a case, and you multiply 33 times. If you buy that many, you can get them a little bit cheaper. I'm not sure what the what the new price is on it yet. I'll have to check for you, but wouldn't hurt to look into it. Okay. Yeah, I'm those folks ain't sponsors anymore, Punk and Catman. They've got some good things, I guess, to eat. I've never checked on it really, but all right. Let's do you guys hear about the Texas girl that was kidnapped by her mother 12 years ago when she was, I think, five years old? And she's 17 now. They found her just southeast of Mexico City in a multi-jurisdictional thing here, FBI, U.S. Marshals, and Mexican authorities. They found her, got her home to her dad, and what an awesome story. The dad said he never gave up hope after 12 years, never gave up. He had he had her room all nice, never closed the door on it, left the room open, had her stuffed animals on her pillows and stuff just like she was going to be there just any day. And 12 years later, she's going to get her room back. And I thought that was an absolutely wonderful story. I love that. And you heard about the Marine is being released finally. So let's move on here. I don't know what in the heck I did with that story. Let me go through these papers here again. I don't know what in the world I did with it. Oh, well. There's a... I got into a discussion today on colloidal silver. I told a guy that I was down with the flu, and I said, look, man, I've told you before, and you're not trying it, and this is what you get. You got the flu now. So some gal popped in there and said, be careful taking that. It could be bad for your liver and your something else. I don't remember what it was. And I said, you know, that's just, I'm sorry, but that is not correct. I said, there is no harm that you, well, I figured out where she got her information. She got it from the Mayo Clinic. Let me read this little, it's a short article here, short warning from the Mayo Clinic. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to, we'll stop it at a couple places down through it here, and I want you to compare this with the information that I gave you on the links last night. Some gal wrote in and asked Mayo Clinic, my dad takes colloidal silver for his health, but is it safe? Well, an MD answered that. Now, understand that medical doctors, they know what silver will do. There's no question. As a matter of fact, I've told the story before. There was an 80-year-old doctor, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he was 80-something years old the last time I talked to him. And talked to him about colloidal silver. Well, he wasn't 80 either. He was probably 60 or so when I talked to him about this. And asked him about colloidal silver. He said, oh, yeah. I said, that is good stuff. He's telling him all about all the things it would do. This was back in... when was this? 98, 99. And that's back when I was first researching silver, and I researched it extensively. I mean, I spent hours and hours and hours going through internet stuff and medical journals and all kinds of stuff. I don't mind saying that I spent no small amount of time on my knees praying about it. Find out if I about fell down here. And that's why my dad always used to tell me not to lean back in the chair, I guess. And So I asked him about this stuff, and he said, yeah, it was just wonderful. Well, a couple of years later, I found out his son was practicing, and I asked him, and he said that if you're going to take that stuff, you don't need to come see me. Not meaning that silver was good, meaning that he was trying to convince me that that was taboo, and you don't come back here if you're going to be taking silver. So this story says colloidal silver isn't considered safe or effective for any of the health claims manufacturers make. That first sentence right there is crap. Silver has no known purpose in the body, nor is it an essential mineral as some sellers of silver products claim. That is insane. They obviously, I mean, yeah, I can see them trying to kind of steer you away from a little bit. To come out and make these claims, though, is just ludicrous. They said silver, colloidal silver products are made of tiny silver particles suspended in liquid, the same type of precious metal used in jewelry, dental fillings, silverware, and other consumer goods. Colloidal silver products are usually marketed as dietary supplements that are taken by mouth. Colloidal silver products also come in forms to be injected or applied onto the skin. Well, not really. Some people do that, but that's not the purpose that they are marketed as. Manufacturers of colloidal silver products also claim that they are cure-alls, boosting your immune system, fighting bacteria and viruses, and treating cancer, HIV, AIDS, shingles, herpes, eye ailments, and prostatitis. However, no sound scientific studies to evaluate these health claims have been published in reputable medical journals. That is not true. Because I have, if you look in my link that I gave you last night and go back and look, there are numerous medical journals there that talk about the benefits of silver. These people don't have any idea. They are making this up as they go along. They're pulling it out of their poop chute here as they go along. They say, in fact, the Food and Drug Administration has taken action against some manufacturers of colloidal silver products for making unproven health claims. Now, that part is true, because the FDA did. They know that if everybody in the United States knows what I know about colloidal silver, there would be no more pharmaceutical companies. They would be closing their doors, most rickety-tick. And the FDA did crack down on some of the manufacturing stuff for some of their labeling and claims. They say it's not clear how much colloidal silver may be harmful, but it can build up in your body's tissue over months or years. Well, it must take a lot of years, because I've been taking it every damn day for 15 years. And I had blood work done in July of... I think it was 2009, 2010, I had blood work done, and there was no mention of any excessive amount of silver in my body. Most commonly, this results in argyria. Now, that's the blue-gray discoloration of the skin. You saw Papa Smurf on TV. Okay, this is also not true. What causes that is for the silver particles to be the wrong size, and also those that make it in a salt brine. And I think that it's probably caused, I don't know, that this is strictly my opinion, that the silver chlorides that it creates, I think, assists in the progression of this argyria that turns people blue. But I know no less than 1,000 people that's been taking this, you know, religiously for a long, long time. None of us have turned blue. Let's see, blue-gray discoloration of skin, eyes, internal organs, nails, and gums. While argyria doesn't pose a serious health problem, it can be a cosmetic concern because it doesn't go away when you stop taking silver products. That is true. It is permanent and everlasting. It will never go away. but the amount of people that get that are exceedingly rare. And it's not from real, properly manufactured colloidal silver. Says, rarely excessive doses of colloidal silver can cause possibly irreversible serious health problems, including kidney damage and neurological problems such as seizures. Colloidal silver products may also interact with medications, including penicillamine, quinolone, something like that, quinolone antibiotics, tetracycline, and thyroxine. That whole story is crap. The whole story, with the exception of what they said about the FDA. And queso, that's an argument that I've used a lot of time for the absolutely microscopic amount of people that have had the problems of turning blue. Smoky Mountain Prepper, glad you could join us, buddy. Hang in there. We'll see you tomorrow night, maybe. For the very few people that have done that, compare that to literally the tens of thousands that have died from reactions to other antibiotics, primarily penicillin. Probably hundreds of thousands. Maybe, I don't know how many people, but there's been a ton. So, colloidal silver will not kill you. It will not. All this stuff that the Mayo Clinic says is, I've got so much documentation that proves that that is not right. Not to mention the fact that me and, you know, however many others that I know. I meet people all the time. I've met people here on the chat room that started taking silver before they ever met me. And, none of them, you know, they all say that it is effective, that nobody's ever had any problems with it. So, I just, I wouldn't hide that from you. You know, use your own judgment here and figure out what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, I have been using that stuff for 16 years, and I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world. My kids have been on it literally since they were born, and it's not a problem. So there is if you go and look and compare that to the articles and all the what I think is a pretty substantial amount of information that's on that website that I gave you last night, I think you'll agree with this thing on the Mayo Clinic. All right, we're going to get our feet back under us here and get headed the right direction. So we're going to take a break here and change up what we're doing here a little bit. So stay with me, and I'll be back here in just a sec.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Irony and its close cousin absurdity meet nowhere closer than at the confluence of left-wing politics and gun control legislation. As usual, and especially in the case of guns, the leftists tug at the fragile heartstrings of emotion when the sturdy rope of reason escapes them. This has been seen nowhere more clearly than in the aftermath of Adam Lanza's Sandy Hook school shootings. Samuel Johnson once famously said, "Patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels." He was wrong. I've come to realize that children are the last refuge of scoundrels. Any time the political left wants to grandstand on an issue, they justify it with the now hoary cliche, "It's for the children." Their gun-free school zones ensured that the Sandy Hook kids didn't stand a chance. Apparently, the anti-gunner's concern for children is further bolstered by continuous misuse of the firearms vocabulary. Their insistence on referring to magazines as clips, the constant reference to semi-automatic firearms as automatics, thereby implying that they are machine guns, and calling cartridges bullets are just a small sampling of their shallow understanding and intentional misdirection. Too often, they are people who don't know what they're talking about, yet wield massive amounts of authority. Their abject technical ignorance would be more palatable were it not being used to strip Americans of their rights. People would laugh at a cardiologist who called the heart that blood pump thing in your elbow that goes thump thump. Yet the anti-gun types are still taken seriously after they say equally ridiculous things. Amongst other things, the 1994 assault weapons ban contained a prohibition on barrel shrouds. While attempting to get the ban reinstated after its 10-year sunset provision, perennial anti-gun New York legislator Carolyn McCarthy was asked what a barrel shroud was. She infamously replied, "I believe it's a shoulder thing that goes up." Barrel shrouds are nothing more than small heat shields designed to protect a shooter's hand from a hot barrel. They are a safety feature. Some, though not all, have a military appearance, but none of them affect the function of a firearm in the least. Leave it to the left to ban safety features. The ban featured other bizarre prohibitions, such as bayonet lugs on rifle barrels. These fixtures allow a bayonet to be mounted on a long gun. In modern militaries, bayonets are rarely seen off the parade ground. Still, the nervous Nellies who authored the ban insisted on including them. Why? Did the authors suspect that our criminal element was massing, like World War II Imperial Japanese troops, ready to stage bayonet bonsai attacks? Apply your own litmus test to everything you hear from the mainstream media and anti-gun politicians, and understand that it is impossible for their constant stream of disinformation to be accidental. There are, logically, only three possibilities. They are intentionally pushing an agenda, they are too stupid to hold their offices, or they are too dishonest to be trusted. In any case, their blather is not worthy of your ears. Reports are that December 2012 background checks and firearm sales have broken all previous records. The sad irony is that the public aren't buying these weapons because they fear the likes of Adam Lanza or even common street criminals. They are buying them in fear of their own government. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more. This old place ain't home, it's just a stop in the rain.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today.
Texas red and not cleared leather, or a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Did you know Detroit had their very own Batman? Yeah, they've got a guy, and I wish that a whole lot of other people would adopt this attitude. And this guy is going out on his own, and is in Detroit. You know, we've talked numerous times over the last 3 or 4 years about how bad Detroit has gotten. It got so bad that the police chief there, remember, 4 years ago, had made some comments encouraging residents to carry a gun, to arm themselves against this crime wave, because they couldn't keep up with it. Well, in Detroit, between the budget crisis that they had, remember they was going bankrupt, either did or was going to, or something. I don't know what the status of that is. But it meant that citizens were left on their own more often than not to deal with crimes in progress. MSN Money said that 911 responses for top priority crimes were taken up to 58 minutes. 58 minutes! An hour for a cop to respond to a high priority crime. So that pretty well left the folks there with not much of a choice but to look for some other alternative when these violent criminals, well, what do you expect them to do? You can't hide in a closet for an hour. You know, you might buy a little bit of time by hiding in the closet, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes maybe. But I guess that this pretty much come to a head when some guy called 911 to report a break-in in progress and was placed on hold for 30 minutes. Not only did the cops not come for an hour, he was on hold for 30 minutes before the cops even started coming. Well, there's a guy in Detroit named Walter Gildersleeve. And the Channel 7 TV station around there, what is it, WXYZ, reported on this. And he was very frustrated with all this stuff. Created his own little group called Detroit Street Watchers that does armed neighborhood patrols, watch patrols. And they started calling him Batman. A student there saw him patrolling near his school and called him Batman. He puts videos of all of his crime-fighting encounters on his YouTube channel. Has a concealed pistol license. That's what they call it, a concealed pistol license. And also open carries when he's on patrols. He'll announce his activities on a loudspeaker to the people in the community, describe his mission as making sure no one is in these abandoned houses, taking back our street and our community. Checks abandoned properties on behalf of landlords, keeping an eye out for vandals, squatters, and arsonists. And also works to deter robberies, murders, car thefts, and assaults. I think that's a pretty awesome deal. His little escapade started when he had participated in a missing person search, where they found the missing young girl, or the body, they said, was never found. And I told the TV, I remember a search a few years ago for a baby girl, Bianca. I got into that search for her. It got real emotional. We never found her, but I never gave up. But in this video, the neighborhood resident here said, we've got a real man out here protecting the streets. So I'd like to see that catch on all over the country. That would be cool.
There was a thing in California, I remember, a while ago.
Won't you just come up here and tell us about it so I don't have to listen to you and then try to repeat it and mess it up. So Amy's back. Hold on a minute. Hey, just a minute. Amy's just about here. She's coming back here.
All right.
There she is.
Trying to get to bed. It hasn't happened yet. Oh, thank you very much. Anyway, I remember, and I don't have my computer in front of me, so I don't know if Cope will tell me if anyone knows this, but I remember, I think it was in California, there was a group of I don't know if it was only men or a combination of men and women, I don't remember. Probably men, but anyway. And they went around, I think there was something, the Guardian Angels, I think they were called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Was that in California only?
No.
Was that anywhere?
No, as a matter of fact, I believe that they started in New York.
So it's kind of like with this Batman guy. But,
yeah, kind of.
But see, they went around, yeah.
But they weren't armed.
No, they weren't armed. But they, and I wonder what happened with them. But I remember they went around and they would stop all kinds of crime that they would see was happening, or they'd go after people, or they would quit bullies, stop bullies from doing bully things. And that made me think about that when you said that. Was it the Guardian Angels? Is that their name?
It was. I think that was what it was. Yeah, the Guardian Angels. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
And they all wore the same type of clothes. I mean, they weren't hidden anywhere. They're kind of like vigilante-ish, but not, they weren't secretive, I don't think, about what they did. I mean, they didn't.
No, they wore berets.
I remember.
And had,
berets.
Had a little uniform of sorts that they wore. Yeah, yeah, that was a neat story.
That was a neat thing that they did. I wonder, you gotta bring something. Maybe you ought to start something like that.
Yeah, with all my spare time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We might be able to stop one crime a year.
Yeah, but that would be a neat thing to get something going like that. Just have like each state or each city or something have something going. And I'm thinking that a lot of people band together and say we're not going to take this anymore, and maybe you'll see a decrease in crimes or attempted crimes or something. You never know.
Yep.
But made me think about that when you were talking about those Guardian Angels. I had forgotten about them and wonder what happened to them.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about them for a long time. Huh?
Years.
Sound like Guardian Angel stuff, doesn't it?
Cope loves having this music thing right at his fingertips and throw stuff in this whenever. Now that was true. Now that really happened.
The story you just heard is true.
Exactly. The names have not been changed because the innocent is dead.
Yep, the innocent is, well,
oh, no, he wasn't innocent. Not. He wasn't innocent.
He is dead, but he's not innocent.
No, he was not. Anyway, okay, now I'm going to bed. Good night.
I thought you were going a while ago.
I was. Now I really am.
Okay. Yeah. All righty then. All right, let's get ready. You guys heard about the Secret Service fiasco here. It is, I... I applaud them for their ineptness here. I'm not sure if it's inept or if they're just thinking about things the way that some of the rest of us do. I think they're doing a fine job, and somebody keeps messing it up. But everybody heard about the jumper jumped over the fence and actually made it into the building with a knife into the White House before they tackled him. And I wish they'd just left him alone. But did you hear about the other one where the Secret Service actually was on an elevator with His Highness and also a security guard? And the security guard got to taking pictures and carrying on about the president and everything. And when he got to, when they got to where they were going, I guess one of the Secret Service agents thought he wasn't very professional, whatever, and told his his boss there, and the boss agreed and told him to hand over his gun. And the Secret Service about wet their pants. They had no idea that they had a guy in the elevator with the president that had a gun in his pocket, or, you know, wherever he was carrying it. He probably had a jacket on or something. It was concealed, evidently. And to top it off, he was a not once, not twice, but thrice convicted felon. So I'm not sure how that worked exactly, and how he had a gun, how he worked for a security agency. But nevertheless, he had his chance, and he screwed it up. But anyway, that's so the Secret Service top dog on the totem pole there has resigned today, Miss Pearson, whatever her name, and she's gone now. So anyway, all right, well, so much fun. Let's move on here to some of these other stories. I got so many stories here. So here's another one here. We hear about this every once in a while. This was a state trooper in Pennsylvania, accidentally shot during a gun training exercise at a safety facility yesterday and died. He was shot in the chest during a yearly training exercise at the Montgomery County Public Safety Training Complex. He's the second trooper to be shot dead this month, following Corporal Brian Dixon's death in an ambush on September 12th. The guy was flown by helicopter to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. He had been a member of the Pennsylvania State Police since June of 2012. The campus where the shooting occurred has classrooms and training facilities for firefighters, police officers, and emergency medical technicians. The shooting remains under investigation. The state police won't disclose any details. Imagine that. He said it was with an extremely heavy heart and deep sorrow that he announced the death of the 96th member of the state police to be killed in the line of duty. He died serving the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. All right, okay. Well, you know, nobody likes to see anybody. Well, that's not entirely true. But anyway, we don't like to see cops die like that. That's not. It's, you know, everybody makes fun of their poor shooting and their poor safety habits and everything. And right here, prime example. I mean, unless he was shot on purpose, unless he was murdered, then it was obviously a safety issue. So we'll see what comes out of that after the investigation. I'll try to keep an eye on it and see if I can. Hey, I just found those silver stories I was looking for. Now, remember, I'm gonna go back. Yeah, that's Hopper. You know, there's no other way to put it. I have seen it time and time and time and time again, and it's not a rare occurrence by any means. Okay, we're going back to silver just for a minute. Hang on a minute. I got a night, sweetie. Love you. Remember that Mayo Clinic article that we just read? And here's another one out of Los Angeles. This is out of the Los Angeles Times. Thousands of years before the discovery of microbes or the invention of antibiotics, silver was used to protect wounds from infection and preserve food and water. Doing good so far. The alluring metal, which was fashioned into a multitude of curative coins, sutures, foils, cups, and solutions, all but vanished from the medical use once physicians began using antibacterial drugs to fight sickness in the 40s. But now, as bacteria grows increasingly resistant to these medications and new pathogens invade hospitals, some doctors are turning once again to the lustrous element that Hippocrates described for patients in ancient Greece. In a study published this week in Science Traditional magazine, researchers found that by adding trace amounts of silver to common antibiotics, the medications came up to 1,000 times more effective in fighting infections in mice. 1,000 times more effective. Study authors said they were surprised and excited to find that the silver antibiotic combo was able to resensitize bacteria that had developed a resistance to the drugs. It even extended the effectiveness of the commonly used antibiotic vancomycin to a class of bacteria previously immune to its effects. I told you so, but I rest my freaking case. I've told you guys many times, I am so convinced that this is the cat's meow. It's all that in a bag of chips. It does everything that I tell you that it does. And I have a ton of stuff to back it up. The Mayo Clinic is full of crap. It says, we went from basically no killing to substantial killing of bacteria. The study is one of the first comprehensive examinations of the ways that silver affects bacteria that are known as gram-negative. These bacteria are equipped with an extra protective membrane that prevents antibiotic drug molecules from penetrating and killing them. In a series of experiments, Collins and colleagues from BU and Harvard University examined the effects of a simple solution of silver nitrate salt on gram-negative bacteria like E. coli. What they found was that even small amounts of silver ran roughshod over some of the toughest bacteria around. It did two things, Collins said. The positively charged silver ions degraded the bacteria's protective layer, giving the antibiotics easier access to the pathogen's innards. It also messed with the bug's metabolism and their ability to manage their own iron levels. The second effect led to the creation of molecules that can kill bacteria, including oxygen molecules that are prone to chemical reactions that can damage cells. In one experiment, the researchers introduced peritonitis in mice by injecting them with E. coli cells. Of the mice treated with silver and vancomycin, 90% survived. Mice treated with just silver or just vancomycin fared much worse. Half of the mice that got silver died, along with 90% of the mice treated with antibiotics. So silver still wins. The researchers observed that silver was effective against biofilms, colonies of slime-protected bacteria that create stubborn infections on medical implants, heart valves, and hospital equipment. Although experiments combining silver and antibiotics have yet to be performed on humans, The study suggests that the metal may become a powerful helper in the fight against microbes resistant to multiple drugs. Researchers who were not involved in the study said it was timely given the rising concern over the dwindling power of antibiotics. The World Health Organization warns that many infectious diseases risk becoming untreatable and uncontrollable. This is exciting data and should pave the way for clinical trials into the use of silver. The investigators then covered a lot of ground. While the precise mechanism by which silver kills germs remains something of a mystery, the element's medicinal and preservative qualities have been recorded throughout history. Silver has been used variously to treat skin ulcers, compound fractures, and even bad breath. in his History of Medical Use of Silver, Dr. J. Wesley Alexander wrote that North American pioneers routinely dropped silver coins into vessels of drinking water during long journeys to ward off infection. In addition, privileged families benefited from using silver eating utensils that often caused a bluish-gray discoloration of the skin, thus becoming known as blue bloods. Argyria, an irreversible condition in which the skin turns blue or gray due to the buildup of silver particles, is the result of consuming silver solutions or flecks of the metal over long periods of time. Silver solutions are not pure elemental silver in water. So it's got a hell of a better percentage, almost twice as good as the traditional antibiotics. But they said silver solutions or flecks of the metal. So, as I said earlier, it's in the particle size that has a lot to cause this blue color. So, there you go. I wasn't going to read the whole article, but I figured that you guys deserved it. So, there you go. I'm going to go into, see if there's a date on here. I'm going to go into the Los Angeles Times. And I'm going to find this and get it where I can put it with the rest of my silver stuff, because that does nothing right there but confirm everything that I've ever said about colloidal silver. So that's just one more thing to the many that I have. So hooray for our side. It does work on a virus, Queso. Where were you last night? Yes, it does. I don't know how many different viruses, but flu is a virus, and I know that it is extraordinarily effective on the flu if you have it in your body prior to getting the flu. Yes, it will help you get well faster, but it doesn't just make it go away in 4 hours. But if you have it in your body, the chances of you getting the flu are exceedingly rare. Parvo. We've cured parvo 3 times. 2 of those cases were advanced. One of them was so advanced that I wouldn't give you 15 cents for the chances of that puppy living. But we injected silver into his hip, and he was completely, absolutely, 100% well in 28 hours. Now, let me see you try that with any of the crap you get from the vet. I challenge you to... As a matter of fact, the vet all but said, don't let him die thirsty. Try to keep him hydrated. And they'd already given up on him. I don't know how many viruses that it works on, but I'm going to guess that it is most, if not all. Whether it is 100% effective on them all, I don't know. But I know that it is effective on some of the most stubborn bacterias. And what is MRSA? MRSA is a staph infection. I know it works on MRSA very well. I am extremely... Matter of fact, Queso, let me plug my phone in here because it's barking at me. I'm going to go find you a picture because I don't think you've been with us long enough here. 007 didn't want me to show you this picture last night because he's seen it before. It's going to take me a minute to bring it up here. Let me see if I can find it in a easier place here. Let me check real quick. Let's see. No, it don't look like it is. So give me just a second here and let me bring up this other deal. And I will show you what... give me a second. Where's my cotton picking? Oh, poop. All right, there it is. All right, hang on just a minute. It's coming along. But what all viruses? I don't know what the difference between some of the viruses and bacteria that there are, but I do know that parvo is a virus, flu is a virus. Give me just a second. We've got a... It's a little slow here. All right. Stand by. We're getting closer. I think this is in my personal file here. And it is coming right along. I have had this bad twice, once on my hand, once on my foot. Both times I did nothing for it other than colloidal silver. I had no antibiotics. I had no... Here we go. I got it right here. I don't have a picture of my foot, but my foot looked just like this hand. So stay by. Your right's at risk. You might want to turn your head. This is an ugly picture. Is it showing up there? I don't know if it's showing up or not. I can't see it on my end. You guys will have to tell me if it... And now they disappeared and just left the link there. That's weird. Well, click on the damn link then. It's not... the picture's not showing up on my end. But you can click on the link and see it. Now, if you'll look at that, that is my right hand, and I can show you the scar still today where that was. If you look at that... this all happened pretty quickly, and my hand was hot, burning hot, and I got the idea here. I should have done it sooner and didn't. I don't know why I didn't. But if you look at that yellow core off to the right of center right there, I pulled that out with my Leatherman, and it was about the size of a peanut M&M, maybe not quite that big. It was as big as a cashew nut anyway. And it left a gaping hole there. So I filled that hole with silver, poured it full and injected silver in about six or eight places all the way around that, using one of my daughter's insulin syringes and needles. I injected silver all the way around that in six or eight locations, and did that a couple of times, poured that hole full of silver, soaked a bandage in silver and put it on there and just left it for a while. Did the same thing when I had it on my foot. And you could almost watch it get well. I mean, it got well so quickly. It was unbelievable. And it healed up. It's okay. So when I tell you I have a testimony of colloidal silver, buddy, you don't have any idea the things that I've gone through with colloidal silver, and that's one of them. It is an ugly picture to look at, but I'm going to tell you, when you go to the doctor with something like that, you know they're going to admit you. And no telling, because I already know for a fact that it was MRSA. And what they do is they pump you so full of antibiotics and everything and hope that it goes away, because it's a little better now, but 8 years ago or whenever this was, I think it was 8 years ago, 7 years ago, they didn't have quite the handle on it, and MRSA was a disaster hospital in the operating room there or whatever. So no, it's not a repeat, Mountain Shooter. You missed the best thing. You're gonna have to listen to this archive. I found a newspaper article here in Los Angeles Times that absolutely confirms everything that I've told you guys about colloidal silver. It's a great article. So, all right. Well, that's all we've got on that. I had to throw that in there. But when I tell you, I think that those of us that have silver in our bodies are going to have a much, much better chance of surviving a biological attack or an outbreak, something like Ebola or E. coli or any one of a thousand other different pathogens that they could release out there, smallpox, any of that stuff. I think that those of us that have silver in our bodies and keep it in there all the time, I think we have a much, much greater chance of surviving that kind of stuff than those that don't. Okay, so you can make the generator yourself. And let me, if you want to order it from me, they're $59.95, and it comes with the book, silver, all ready to go. All you need to do is buy a gallon of colloidal silver. I mean, distilled water. But if you've got the time and just a little bit of mechanical ability, damn little, you can make your own. Now, the ones we got are nicer with the plugs and all the stuff that goes with it, but it doesn't have to be nice. So let me put that in the chat room for you again. The shooting bench, whoops, can't even spell. shootingbench.yuku.com. The shootingbench.yuku.com. Then scroll to survival medicine. I can see why Mountain Shooter thinks this was a repeat from last night, because we're going over some of the same stuff. But damn it, this is the time. We need to go over it. I don't care if we go over it every night. Let me put this in here for you, and you can go check out everything that you need to see here. If you decide to do this, you know, the instructions, everything that you need is there. Don't vary from it one iota. You do everything just damn exactly like it says in that thing, and I will back it up for everything I'm worth, which, as I said, not a hell of a lot. But let's see. All right. Let's move on here. We've still got some other things I wanted to try to get covered tonight. I had not planned on for 1 minute getting off on silver again. But it's the right now, you know, when you have serial killers going on, when you have, killer tornadoes, earthquakes, other storms of various kinds, you got all this stuff going on, you continue to spend time on it as long as it is deemed necessary. Well, I deem that it is necessary to make sure that my friends have this information about colloidal silver. And I'll promise every one of you one thing, that if the poop was to hit the fan tomorrow, and let's give it a week. Give everybody time to get some silver in their bodies and get their generators and stuff. And if the poop was to hit the fan in a week or two, I'll guarantee you that over a period of time that you will be wondering, boy, I'd sure like to get on the chat room again and tell Cope thanks for this information, because it is truly life-saving information. I don't care what the Mayo Clinic says. I've been going with this stuff too long. Okay, let's let me change gears and get off my get off my high horse here with the silver. Everybody that's been with me for a while has heard me get off on these rants about silver. No telling how many damn times, but it's quite the stuff. All right. Let me find... Here, I can do you better than that. Here, I've got a... Let me put this in the chat room for you. There you go. Just click on that, and that'll take you right to it, and you don't have to do all that scrolling and typing and carrying on there. So, Queso, you know, I feel for the people in Texas. The people in Texas did not ask for this to happen. And there's no telling how many people that has infected already. And, you know, Ebola itself, however dangerous it is to people, it is not that hard to kill to start with. To have something for, Minnie and I were talking about that a little bit today, about the various things that can protect you from the Ebola bacteria. And it's pretty easy to kill. Bleach, colloidal silver, obviously, put that in a spray bottle or something. That would be my choice. And it's like bleach when you purify water. It takes a half hour to do it. If you purify water with colloidal silver, it takes 6 minutes to get the same effect. Actually, a better effect, because bleach is not effective against Giardia and tuberculosis, and silver is. So, yeah, just give me a holler, Queso, if I can help you on that, I'd be glad to. All right. I've got so many of these cotton picking things up here. Let me go down through here and pick a couple of them. Not near going to get done here tonight. Okay. There's, Now, this is funny. This is an old story. I pulled this up from some stuff. I was looking through a bunch of things that that we had here. This is from a couple of years ago, but you guys probably haven't heard this. It's over 2 years, almost 2.5 years ago. But it's about a woman that... Well, let me see if the cotton picking link's going to work here. There we go. It's about a woman who's out begging on the street. And she wasn't homeless. She didn't need food. She wasn't just a panhandler. She needed boobs. 37 years old. She's on the street begging, asking to... a very generous public for money to have boobs. She had hoped to raise $5,058 for breast implants. She stands on a busy intersection in Akron, Ohio, wearing boots and a bikini and holding a sign that says, "Not homeless, need boobs." Working as a bartender covers bills and education, but not breast implants. Her boyfriend and bodyguard says she's not begging, just being honest. So there's, She's a pretty good-looking gal. There's a picture of her in a bikini, and why she's doing this. I'll put the picture in the chat room for you. And for in her line of work, I guess, yeah, okay, so it's a worthy cause, I think. In her line of work, I can see why she might need a little help there. So, let me know if that comes through. I don't know why. Are the pictures coming through on you guys' end? The thing just pops to a link, and the pictures are not working. What are you seeing? Let me get back. Oh, I'm getting links. I don't know why pictures. And Minnie can see the pictures. Queso's got links. Rights at risk, you ain't no telling what you'll what you'll hear on the shooting bench. It's getting to be a... I used to always be able to post those pictures. I don't know what the heck happened. Yeah, let me get back over here again and find my list of undone things here. Not homeless. Need boobs. Alrighty then. Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let me catch this one right here by the toe. New laws coming up in California. This is, they've celebrated this, think it's quite the deal. This is scary. It's very, very scary stuff. Under this new law in California, families can add, and not just families, anybody, can ask police to confiscate lawfully owned weapons from close relatives. I guess it is just relatives. Says the law was introduced after an unstable gunman shooting rampage. Remember the guy in, where was it? Was it Santa Barbara? Here a couple months ago? 2 or 3 months ago? Whatever it was. It's the first law in the United States that gives families who think a close relative might commit gun violence the ability to petition for a restraining order. The measure was signed into law Tuesday by Jerry Brown and has wide support by law enforcement agencies and gun control advocates. All right, let's look and see what they've accomplished here. If you have reason to believe that somebody is a menace to themselves or to society, you already have the ability and the right to let the authorities know and let them decide. I don't know what this is going to make things worse. It's not going to make them any better. It's called the Gun Violence Restraining Order Law. It'll give families and law enforcement a needed tool to reduce the risk of mass shootings and gun violence both in the homes and on our streets. The measure allows family and law enforcement to petition for protection, which is valid for 21 days. The order can be extended up to a year after a notice and a hearing. Republican senators spoke out against the bill, arguing that there were already measures to keep guns away from dangerous and unstable people. Critics said the bill infringed on the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Yes, it does. This was... It's hard to believe where this country's going. This was California, Queso. And I would have to agree with you that this ISIS, that story that Minnie put up there, I saw that earlier today, and I opened that up, and they beheaded the three women and put their heads up on a cement block in town there, just as a... I wonder how many of these beheadings there's been in the last 6 months or a year. The cartels are doing them by the dozen also. And it's not just ISIS. I mean, they've been doing this in Mexico for years, so there's not... I don't know why anybody's so terribly excited about ISIS when we weren't excited about the cartels doing it. But I don't know if any of you have seen that video of the four women that were girlfriends or wives or associated with a rival cartel, and they sawed their heads off right there, and it was an awful video. But anyway, but I have to agree with you. There's something needs done. ISIS and the cartels both, and it doesn't matter whether they're one and the same. If you ask me, the one's not a damn bit better or worse than the other one. Well, let's see. Let me get back over here again. I'm losing track here. I get off on a tangent here and forget what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. And let's see what has happened here. Let me try this again. Well, poop. Anyway, we're just about out of time here. I've had fun tonight. I'm sorry that I got so far off on that silver again, but I was excited about finding this article in the Los Angeles Times. I want to find, I'm going to go to the Los Angeles Times. I'll probably even do it tonight and find this article so that I can, hopefully I can cut and paste it, or at least paste a link to it into this argument that I got in earlier today. You know, I will do one thing though, real quick here, and this goes back to, we were talking about the law enforcement officer that got killed at the range. Mountain shooter. I was a little surprised at that myself. You should have heard that story. You'll have to catch this archive. But let me read you this. You know, this this goes along with what we have said time and time again. There's this guy here that his name's Aaron Roberts. And he's being written about by, for those of you that are familiar with handguns and Handgun Magazine, you've probably heard of James Tarr. He writes a lot of articles. But anyway, it says, between getting out of the military and going back to work for the state, I started shooting competition, said Roberts. I shot a little bit in the military, but didn't have time or money to really go after it too much. The experience wasn't what he expected, given his level of experience with handguns. When I first decided to go to a match for about a week, I was thinking these people do not understand what whirlwind is about to roll into there and roll into there and start smashing them. But, like a lot of people of experience, you show up and it doesn't quite work out that way. You realize that the best shooters in the world are not in the military, they're not in law enforcement, they're civilians. It's because civilians care, and they're spending their own money. I didn't finish last in that first match, but I didn't finish first either. And people typically take that one of two ways. One, oh well, you know, that's BS, it's not real. Or two, that's an eye-opener, maybe I need to practice. So I applaud this guy having the same, the typical attitude there when he went in there, but at least he woke up and... as he saw that he got trashed in there by civilians, he said, well, if I want to be as good as these guys and not get my ass whooped every time I come here, I better start paying attention and learning here a little bit. So I applaud him for taking that extra effort and getting that done there. All right. Well, that used up just about the right amount of time, so I think I'm going to start easing towards the door over here. And tomorrow is all gun stuff. So, well, I say all gun stuff. We may, in this this day and age, you know, we may wind up having to sneak off and get off on a tangent a couple of times, depending on what happens between now and then. But we've got several gun things we need to cover, so we have no lack of material here. Let me remind everybody again, I don't think we have anybody new in the chat room, but I'm going to say it anyway for people that listen to the archives. 18th and 19th of this month, already it's here. We're going to be in Lincoln, California with a Glock Armors class and an 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. So get a hold of me. You can email me at theshootingbench@live.com, and we can get you signed up or you get any information that you may need for this. I've got a show coming up in Kingman, Arizona on the 15th of November. I'll be in, I'm kind of working backwards here, I'll be at a Arizona Citizens Defense League presentation on the 11th of November. I'll be at Young, Arizona at the Survivalist Expo, the Survivalist Renaissance, from the 8th to the 10th of November. We have a combat medic class with Chuck Hudson, with our own Edge of the Woods there at the ranch, November 1st and 2nd. For you guys that have asked about first aid stuff and supplies and getting books and all that stuff, if you really want the real deal, if you want something that is everlasting and is as good information as you can get anywhere, make this class. It is an awesome class. I've been through it twice, maybe I think I've been through it three times now. I have been through it three times. It's a it's an incredible learning experience. Rights at risk. if we go that direction, I'm not sure which way we're going, but if we go up through that way, we will be going through there on the 15th. I'll have to look at a map. I'm not sure if we're going that way or not. But if we don't, maybe we'll come back that way. If you're talking about when would I be in Utah for a class, well, you get some people together up there and get it all, do my footwork for me, and we can come up there just about any time. So, no, we're not going to Stockton yet. We've got some people working on trying to get us a class in Stockton, Utah, but it hasn't materialized completely just yet. So I hope that we get that one done. Okay, so the way that you start is you talk to your friends. You need to find somebody that understands the importance of professional training. Handgun, rifle, shotgun, survival, preparedness, whatever. And you get a few of them together. Now, you will get your class. If you do all the work for me, you get your class free. You could conceivably get $1,000 worth of training up there for nothing. But you'll need to get me, you know, 8 or 10 people together to do that. But you just find a safe, legal place for me to shoot. And get some people together, and we'll do some advertising on our end too to help you get those people together. And you can do that through your gun shops, through the beer joint for all I care. Some of your shooting buddies and stuff like that, and get some people together. And I will definitely be on the road to San Antonio. Been a long, long time since I've been down there. And it doesn't have to be right in there. You can go to some of the surrounding smaller towns out in the country somewhere. You can find a landowner that has. Now, remember, we can't do this on most. We can't do it on any indoor ranges, period. And any range that we use, we'll have to check and see if they charge range fees. We have to check and see if they allow holster work. Some of the stuff we do is pretty dynamic, and a lot of ranges don't allow it. So make sure that they know what they're getting into before we start doing that. And but as far as private property goes, if you can just find somebody that's got a few acres and will get us a, you know, let's say if we did the 3-day handgun class, the personal defense handgun 3, we would need at least 50 yards. I like to have 100, but 50's plenty. And the best thing to do is to find a landowner that would allow us to do that out there. So you may have some friends that's got a ranch out there or something. Everybody will be signing liability waivers and everything if they have any questions about that. So, but like I said, if we did that 3-day handgun class, you'd get $950 worth of training for only the cost of your ammunition. So, okay, we're mumbling and rambling here now, so I better get out of here and get to bed. I'm going to go look for that LA Times article first. All right, good night, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's